Good morning and welcome to Christ Church Uniting here in Kailua, Hawaii, or if you're tuning in, and we know there are many of you out there tuning in from wherever you're at, we welcome you. My name is Beth Davidan, and I will be co-leading today. We are so pleased to introduce you to our interim pastor, Reverend Brittany Alexander. We will be officially welcoming her a little bit later in our service with a litany of welcome. As John baptized new converts, he invited them to live with changed hearts and lives. When asked, "How do you do that?" his answers all pointed to making sure that no one is cheated or left without the basic necessities of life, including the right to not be harassed. A full life of joy, which the prophet Isaiah describes as an ever-flowing spring, is the birthright of all children of God. May we take action to make it so. So today is the third Sunday of Advent, and if we forgot, we've got beautifully already lit candles from hope and peace. And today, as a little kid, I always remember it was so cool to get to light the pink candle, the joy candle. So we get to do that today. And as we do so, we offer the light of joy to illumine the door of welcome. May this light shine in our hearts, in our lives, and in this church. May joy awaken us to possibilities and lead us to greater hospitality. There is room in this inn, a house for the holy. And I invite you, as you greet people, to maybe open the door of your heart and give a wave of welcome as we rise in spirit for our opening hymn. Just a friendly reminder that we ask that you hum or sing quietly to yourselves. Isn't it wonderful to have a joyous sound of children in the sanctuary? Thank you for that. Truly, truly. And as we're gathering together, if you're out there, come closer to your screen. It is time for Keiki time. Let's see how we're going to think outside the box this week.
Aloha, friends. Today is the third week of Advent. Advent is the season where we prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of Jesus. And one way to prepare is to make room for that which is most important. Now, you might remember our good friend the box here. It all started on the first Sunday of Advent when it was a big gift, and then we discovered hope inside, a world of possibilities. Last week, we explored this table of peace. Well, today we're going to keep our imaginations going, and we're going to celebrate the third Sunday in Advent, which is joy. We're going to make a drum of joy. Maybe you can find something to beat on at home, maybe your leg or a bowl or something, or maybe you even have a drum at your house. But it's kind of fun to make joyful sounds. The time of Christmas is filled with musical songs and things that we can share together that create music. Maybe it's like the clopping of the donkey bringing Mary to Bethlehem. Maybe it's the sound of the shepherds' hearts beating with excitement. Maybe it is getting ready for Jesus' birth at your house. Okay, it can be a little crazy, but it's fun to make a joyful noise. And God encourages us to find joy. There is joy in the world. Sometimes we have to look for it. Sometimes we have to be that for other people. So today we give thanks for the Advent week and where we celebrate joy. Let us pray. Dear loving and creative God, thank you and help us to make room for joy. Help us to prepare for Jesus. Help us to make room for joy. Amen.
Okay. Some of you are going to race home and find their boxes and make drums. I can just feel that. We have come to the time in our worship where we want to officially welcome Pastor Brittany amongst us, and we have some lovely words that we've created. You have a part. You will be cued on this tricky part, congregation. You get to say the words, "We will." Okay? We will. Now, don't preempt this. We're getting to your part. We've got some other lovely things that we want to say and welcome. So let me begin. We are delighted to celebrate the evolving ministry of Christ Church Uniting. The CCU Council has contracted with the Reverend Brittany Alexander to serve as interim pastor of our church. Today, we welcome Pastor Brittany to our church, Ohana, and recognize her leadership for this special time in the life of our congregation. With support from our parent denominations, the Disciples of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA, we look forward to doing the work of transition in preparation for new pastoral leadership. Pastor Brittany is equipped to lead us through the process which reviews our history and focuses on our future as a people of God in this place. So, to Pastor Brittany, I ask, will you love, serve, and pray for these people of God, nourishing them with word and sacraments, and lead them forward during this important time of transition?
I will, with God's help.
And to the congregation, now I ask all of you, people of Christ Church Uniting, to receive Reverend Brittany Alexander as a pastor and colleague in ministry, and to join in the process we are entering in as a congregation. As she continues the work of bringing the gospel of hope, justice, and salvation, will you regard her as a fellow servant of Christ and work together in the ministry of this congregation?
We will.
Very good. There's another question. Will you pray for Pastor Brittany and honor her work and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We will.
By your statements of commitment and affirmation of this congregation, we welcome you as interim pastor of this congregation and ask for God's loving presence for the journey ahead. Amen. Today we have two scripture readings, one from Isaiah and the other from Luke. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. Isaiah 12, 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all of the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
As the choir collects, I'd like to present an opportunity to you. We're singing an anthem that includes O Come, Emmanuel, the iconic Advent hymn. Would you hum on cue? Would you hum the tune with us, please?
Good morning. I am so happy to be with you this morning in body and in spirit. Thank you for this beautiful welcome that you have shown me today. I am looking forward to journeying with you these coming months as we grow and learn and explore who God would have us be in this place. Please join me in prayer as we continue our time of worship through the Word. God of life, God of joy, we have gathered today as imperfect people, seeking to do good in this world, seeking to love others and to love ourselves. Guide us on the way, and may we greet one another and ourselves with grace. Amen. Choose joy. Have you heard this phrase? Choose joy. I have to confess, I have never really liked this phrase. I have all too often witnessed it used this way. To a trans person struggling with depression because their family does not accept them, choose joy. The mother juggling meals and homework and diaper changes without any help, choose joy. To employees making less than their worth and working long hours, choose joy. To communities forever altered by the pandemic, choose joy. It reminds me of James chapter 2. You know the one. Someone says to a person in need, go, be warm and well fed, meanwhile doing nothing about clothes or shelter or food, but be warm and well fed all the same. In the midst of grief and suffering, an offering of empty words. You may have noticed our scripture from Luke this morning is not a particularly warm or feel-good passage upon first inspection. But here we are on this Sunday of joy, reading about John the Baptist insulting and chastising the people. Up to this point, John has made a ministry of providing baptism as a sign of repentance and forgiveness. And so John is here at the water's edge doing his thing. And to the very people who arrive to partake of the very service John is there to provide, he reprimands them. Curious that John would take this opportunity to seemingly undercut his own ministry. You brood of vipers, he says. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Taken on its own, in this context, we can understand wrath as anger, a justifiable indignation that has already begun to fray the threads of the social fabric. An anger that bubbles up because the individuals who have come to John to be baptized are here for the external symbol. They are here for the show. Something to help them feel better about themselves. And John cannot abide this. You slippery, sneaky little snakes. Who told you to flee from the consequences of your own actions? Who told you to abandon your obligations to the community? Whoever has two coats must share with those who have none, and the same with food. And to the tax collectors, collect no more than is necessary to do the work you have to do. Take only what you need. And to the soldiers, do not threaten. Do not make false accusations for money. What are you thinking? Many of the people who have come to John this day are people who have been established to oversee the social system. And instead of looking out for the people around them, they are abusing and manipulating the social structure for personal and political gain, benefiting from a system that is fueled by the subjugation and oppression of others. And not only that, they are trying to seek absolution for this way of life through the existing religious system. John says to them, being a descendant of Abraham does not let you off the hook. Being baptized does not let you off the hook. Is any of this sounding familiar? Good. Today, this might sound like, being a Christian does not let you off the hook. Having a gay friend, a black friend, an indigenous friend does not let you off the hook. Donating a measly sum of your billion-dollar fortune to charity does not let you off the hook. These facts do not absolve you of the obligations and the responsibilities that come with your privilege, your position, and your power. Enough is enough. Luke is the only gospel to include this specific social commentary, and Luke does so very much on purpose. For there is one who is coming more powerful than I, and he will bring with him a new social order. Lip service and going about your regular holy activities will not be enough. This new order will mandate that the systems of oppression be overturned. An echo of John the Baptist's message is heard in the following chapter when Jesus begins his earthly ministry and proclaims, I have been appointed to bring good news to the poor, to release those in chains, to recover sight for the blind, and ensure the oppressed go free. To hear this news as one under the boot of a corrupt system is to hear that this new order includes you, invites you in, invites you to the table, says, you are my community, and I will seek your flourishing. This new order is one of kinship, of belonging. I am from Arizona, born and raised, and like every other U.S. state, Arizona is land that was taken from indigenous people. One of the tribes currently residing in Arizona is the Navajo Nation. And like all indigenous people, the Navajo have to work very hard to preserve what remains of their culture, their language, and their people. One of the things I have learned about the Navajo culture is that when a baby is born, the baby is believed to belong to the holy people, to the spirit world. She is not yet entirely an earthly being. For about 4 to 6 months, the family waits intently, listening closely. Each person wants to be the first one to hear the sound that will mean the baby has chosen to leave the spirit world and make a home among her earthly family. They are listening for a laugh. A joyous procession of giggles tells her family she is here to stay. Baby's first laugh tells her family she wants to love and be loved. She is committed to life, and she is committed to the well-being of her community. And the moment that laugh arrives, the family leaps into action. They prepare lots of food and have a large celebration. Each guest is given a plate of food and a special gift. For the Navajo people, the laughter is not simply a developmental milestone. Laughter is the fundamental step toward the mutual contract of kinship, a contract that implies taking action. Kinship is solidarity, is kindness, is compassion, is generosity, is peacefulness. And in the space between the spirit world and earth, in the space between life and death, the Navajo listen for a laugh. A kind of joy that says, I am here. You are my community, and we will seek our flourishing together. Two thousand years after Jesus, and we are still seeking the flourishing and belonging of all people. The struggle is ongoing. People are still under the boot of a social system that does not value them. A system that churns its wheel over them to turn a profit. And in the midst of this reality, between life and death, we are here, you and me, in this moment, to be the joy that is that counterforce to all that seeks to crush the human soul. To be the joy, a force of social change that brings belonging to all people. A joy that says, you are not alone. The joy that is a wild cry of resistance in the face of uncertainty, violence, and death. And in so doing, we echo the one who has experienced the poverty of the manger and the agony of the cross, that the world would know resistance in the name of kinship, that the world might know belonging, that the world might know a joy that overcomes. Poet Aja Monet has a collection of poems in a book called My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. And in this book is her poem called Black Joy. I would encourage you all to read this poem at some point in its entirety. I will read to you now an excerpt. This is Aja Monet's Black Joy. Joy is the blessing and the curse. It's the call and response, the prayer and the pulpit. It's evidence of things unseen, it's faith, it's merciful. Joy is the hallelujah, the amen, and the Holy Ghost. It's speaking in tongues. It's worship before the sermon, the baptism, revival, a genetic heirloom. It is the portable promised land. Joy is the diaspora. It's making it overseas or making it over the Mason-Dixon line. It's family, it's brotherhood, it's sisterhood. It's together, unified on the front lines. Our joy will astonish the world because joy, real joy, is justice. We have been reflecting on what it means to house the holy this Advent season. My friends, this is it. The power to bring and be the joy of justice in a hurting world, the joy of belonging. This is the joy we claim. This is the joy we choose. Amen.
Now we gather for prayers of the people. We have been blessed to have the ensemble share and begin our prayer with this beautiful song. In this moment, we open the doors of our hearts to honesty before God about what we've done and left undone that created less hope in a hurting world. Let us breathe out this regret and breathe in life-giving, forgiving Spirit of God. And out again with the peace of Christ. In this moment, we open the doors of our lives to the call of the Spirit, inviting us to become more than we can ask or imagine. Let us breathe out our fear and breathe in the courage of the Spirit of God, and out again with the peace of Christ. In this moment, we open the doors of this church, filling it with the compassion of Christ for all those who are struggling. We are especially remembering this week Dottie and Paul Brennan as Dottie recovers from partial hip replacement surgery following a fall in their home. We ask for God's healing presence and strength. We also remember those who are suffering economic hardship and insecurity in basic needs. May abundance be shared. Those who are suffering mentally, finding it difficult to cope, may paths open and hope return. Those who are suffering illness or injury, we pray for healing. We pray for those who are suffering loneliness and isolation. May compassion and solace arrive. We pray for those who are suffering discrimination, fear, and violence. May they know respect, respite, and safety. May the advent of compassion be born in us, reside within us, move outward from us so that we may meet the needs of the world, making a house for the holy, that is each and every child of God. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is now time to come to the table of welcome, of belonging. For those of you at home, I invite you to grab a snack, a drink, that you may partake in the feast with us. We are reminded that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, sweat, and tears of the new covenant. And so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's reign." The table is set for you. Amen.
During Advent, we have been focusing on the theme of housing the holy. And each week, we highlight a different community agency doing important work, helping our neighbors who are struggling with housing insecurity. So this week, we highlight the Institute for Human Services, established in 1978, IHS, has expanded its mission and services tremendously. Today, IHS is Hawaii's most comprehensive human services agency, focusing exclusively on ending or preventing homelessness. It provides outreach, case management, emergency shelters, medical respite facilities, and low-income housing solutions. We have a video that we'd like to have you check out. It's focusing on an innovative project that IHS has recently launched.
Welcome to Kauiki Village. We are an affordable housing community for previously homeless families. Here we provide resources to support their continued success. Affordable on-site childcare is available to all families. On-site case management, support services, and after-school programming. Central hub for community gatherings, classes, and recreation. Convenience store. On-site laundry services. Playground. 1 and 2 bedroom units available. Many families grow personal garden plots. At Kauiki Village, we are building futures together.
For interest to learn more, I encourage you to hop on their website. As you are able, lend a hand through financial and or in-kind donations. Their website includes a list of most needed in-kind donations. And I just invite you to, as we think about our offering that we bring of ourselves and our resources here, we think about ways to extend that to our greater community. There is a calabash here on your way out, or you can give online. But we thank you so much for the many gifts that you give to this community. Please join in our doxology.
Thank you.
seated. Announcements, favorite part of our worship time together, figure out ways to be more engaged in our community and support what's going on. One way is to come back here next week after worship, whether you're Zooming in with the link that we'll be providing. We have the congregational meeting. It happens once a year. You are an important part of that conversation and that important work where we approve our budget and our leadership for 2022. So again, right after worship next Sunday, you will be getting a Zoom link this week and an agenda. And we're so glad that Pastor Brittany will be here to help us go through our congregational meeting. Appreciate that. She's excited. We can tell. Just a reminder that prayers in this community are always welcome. And we want to be with you, whether it's joys or struggles. We have a prayer email address. I think many of you know it by now, but prayers@ccukailua.org. Please use that as a way to let us know, and we will gather those up and send it out in a weekly prayer email. Hey, good work, people. Those of you that have or will be giving blood. Did you see the bloodmobile? You couldn't miss it, right? So we surpassed our minimum amount of 40. Yes, 50. Thank you. And let's give a hand to Dana, who is our contact person. It's a big deal. So thanks for everyone for giving of themselves in that special way. Today's beautiful orchid here is provided by Donna Gilcher. Hi, Donna. We know you're out there. In honor of her son, Willem Eccles, his 32nd birthday. And she has a very sweet dedication. She wants to thank him for teaching her patience, humility, providing endless joy, and daily admiration for her son and his many accomplishments. So thank you, Donna. And if you are inspired to also provide in January, if you'd like to do some flowers or arrangement of some sort, please sign up. There's a link for that. And just an acknowledgement, Paul Brennan behind the scenes keeps changing things back here to make it a beautiful focal and meditation for us to deepen our understanding of this theme of Advent, of welcoming. And if you didn't participate or you haven't checked it out yet, the Vespers this past Friday, there's video available on our website. What a joyous way of celebrating Christmas. If you haven't checked it out, I really kudos and thanks to Melody, our Vespers coordinator, who once again brought in an amazing group of musicians and offered just beautiful words of inspiration. So check that out on our website. I believe I have come to the end. No, what am I forgetting? God is with us. We have a Christmas joy offering that is another giving opportunity. And I believe there are even some special envelopes out there if you want to put your donation in that. Anyway, it is a special offering that we will be collecting. When will we be doing that? On Christmas. Christmas Eve. Now. Always. Okay. I just take my direction from. Okay. And also, just put on your calendars Christmas Eve, right? Christmas Eve, we will be gathering. Do we have a time for that yet, Paul? That would be 7 o'clock? 7 p.m. Okay, I'm counting 7 fingers in the back, so we're going to go with 7 p.m. here, and it's going to be a beautiful evening of worship on Christmas Eve. Now am I done with announcements? Okay, I'm getting lots of head shakes. So, okay, it is time to wrap up. And that means I get to tell you some cool little tidbits about our final worship song, hymn. It's called a hymn. It is What Child Is This? And it invites peasants and kings to claim Christ as their own. The Glory of God hymnal changes this to one and all, okay? So the person who wrote this, Chatterton, sorry if I'm mispronouncing, correct me, Chatterton Dix, is that correct? Okay. Was not a clergy person who writes most of the hymns, but he was a businessman in England. Maybe you know this. I did not know this. He asked the question, why lies he in such mean estate? Referring to the stable. And in the original second verse, answers by connecting the humble wooden birth manger to the wood of the cross borne at his death. So with no further ado, what child is this?
As we leave this place today, may God's door of welcome swing open in your heart and in your life. May Christ's humble first dwelling remind you of the plenty you already know. And may the Spirit lead you into more possibility and hospitality than you can imagine, making room in the inn for all. May it be so for you, may it be so for us, may it be so for this church. Amen.